Blog Talk Radio.
It's good to be with you again. This is Dr. Lorenzo D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus. And we're so excited to be with you because this is hump day. Wonderful Wednesday. And when you get a chance to get to Wednesday, that means you're in the middle of the week and you're moving toward that weekend. And everybody looks forward to a couple of days off depending on where you are and what kind of job you're working, whether that's Monday through Friday or you're working one day within the week, you take it out. However it may be, we hope you are ready to join us tonight. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. The web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/LD Smith Production. And if you want to get us by email, that's talkingsportsplus@gmail.com. You can tweet the show at talkingsportsplus1. Also at Daryl. I'm sorry, at Elliot Darrow, number one, that's ELLIOTDARYL with the number one, at Tremaine Edwards with the number seven, and at Coach_L_Smith. We're so excited to have an opportunity. Now, when you ask about Talking Sports Plus, you always look at what's the purpose of this show. We're going to go, and our theme is we're going to be known as the voice of the historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So again, we're so excited to have this opportunity to be before you tonight. We got some hot topics on the schedule tonight. The title of the show is Talking Sports Plus, in essence, looking at the hottest topic. I have joining me, I have one of the co-hosts joining me, and I do appreciate him taking an opportunity. I know he has a lot going on, and I'm so excited to have him. You know, I have no problem and have to be forced to do solo, but I always like to have my team members with me so we can do a great job. And I like to take this opportunity to introduce that individual. And they know by now, I always try to give them a glaring introduction, and I always do that. And he hails from the south part of Alabama. He runs from Dothan over to Ark, from Ark to Montgomery, and from Montgomery over as far as you can go east, and down, back down that eastern part of the state. He's known as the Don King of Entertainment. He's our coach of the airways. None other than Darryl E. Train Elliott.
Boy, I'm so glad I was making this show tonight. It was by the skin of my teeth, though. But I'm glad to hear that you can do it solo, because I know you can do things solo, but I don't like for you to be out here by yourself. I like to be in the game with you, Doc, and I'm committed. So, you know, I have to do what I got to do to be with my good friend. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Ooh, my friend, brother, I do appreciate it, man. I am my brother keeper. I appreciate that, my brother. And there we just going to try to do what we can do. You know, do what you do. They said take care of your own business. So I'm excited. I know Touchdown Tony is going to join us at the midpoint about 8:30, and we look forward to having Touchdown Tony. But before I go to Touchdown Tony, our other co-hosts and those individuals are I got my email and got my text from them to say we might not be here because I got to finish up my last night of work. Lauren, as y'all know, she's still dealing with a rehab. And let me introduce those two individuals because they deserve the same introduction whether they was on the show or not. Then we'll jump into our log and we'll make things happen. We have none other from North Alabama, young man known as the King. He's been called the King. And he's better known with his slogan that he used, or his saying, he said, ain't no fun when the rabbit got the gun. That's Coach Tremaine Edwards out of North Alabama. And, Trey, I know you're working hard right now, and we just want you to know that that we have you in our prayers on here, and we look forward to having you back next week. So we're very excited about that. Then our lady of the show, our millennium, who brings that? She brings the talk when she's here. Unfortunately, as I mentioned, she had that knee surgery and she's still rehabbing. But she's working hard to try to get back here. So our millennium of the show and our lady, Coach Lauren D. Smith. So we do appreciate as well, Lauren. We know you're listening to the show. You told me you're going to do your best to try to get here, but I understand sometimes the meds kick in and you can't always get it done. So we just try to make it do what it do, and we have some excitement. Darryl, I know we got we're going with three weeks in a row. We've been going just two of us getting at it, then we had an individual join in. But we're going to do our best. We're going to carry each other. Like I said, I am my brother keeper, and you are my brother keeper. So we're going to make it do what it do, and I'm going to keep saying it because it's going to happen. All right, one of the topics I wanted us to kind of talk about on our coach's corner, and we can share our thoughts, and it's all about loyalty. College football has no loyalty. And it's one of the topics that one of our co-hosts went live on Facebook was talking about. They said in the college football, that's including coaches, programs, in regards to our players, have no loyalty toward the players. The players are not important. As long as they're playing the game and they're healthy and meet what you want them to meet, they're fine. But when they may have a little situation, controversy, may have something that causes them not to perform to the level, we're easy to kick them out and replace them. And that's what life is all about. You can be replaced. I think that's what college football is showing, that don't matter if you're on a job, you can be replaced. You know, so that we got to always keep that in mind. But we want to take a few minutes and we're going to talk about the college football has no loyalty. And Darryl, you can share your thoughts in regards to that.
Well, if it's loyalty that they're looking for, you ain't going to find it. Number one, the players don't get paid. Number two, they're students. And number three, they're in the formidable years of trying to, you know, get them prepared for the next level in life. So the coaches take it as such. And with that being said, then, you know, they're not going to give them that type of you know, relationship of loyalty. I don't see it. We see what we see on TV and what we see and hear, you know, on the broadcast, what we read, but we don't see the very struggle that these students have out here trying to play in these sports programs and how they actually get kicked around. And so I think it's a culture of things that have happened throughout the years of college sports. And you're not going to get any loyalty from any coach, and they will treat you as almost like a number. And if you step out of bounds, you know, I don't think you're going to make it. Now, I don't know how well that might play with one of their superstar players, but even a superstar player ain't going to have much more latitude than a let's say, a Tier 3 player when it comes to breaking the rules. So, you know, they may get some latitude, but at the end of the day, they're all replaceable. And I think that's just the culture where it is. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
You're so right there, and I think that's something that needs to be shared. You know, we have gotten into this mode with our young people, especially in the era of athletics. We are now being our biggest focus is training our young players to be in one particular sport. Now, we train them to do everything physically and also at a point mentally, but we also have a problem to get problem getting them to understand that once you go there, it's almost like 105 athletes at that school, and you're going to compete. And though you go to a school, for example, the University of Alabama, Auburn, or Georgia, there's always going to be somebody pushing for your position. And I think because a lot of times our players be the best players in their school, and they're the best players or athlete in their county, and they're so accustomed to be where people just treat them like they're little kings and so on. And then when they get to that level, and even though they've been told, even by the college coaches, I think the college coaches tell them I got to have you at my program now, and you're the best player, and you're gonna play for me. And I'm gonna look out for you. I'm gonna take care of you. Yes, that's the speech that is given to them. But they also ought to be in there and say, well, it's a possibility of recruiting this next player that if you don't hit the level you need to hit, that you will be replaced. But this ain't something that just started going on. And the loyalty, more or less, haven't really been there. They want you to be loyal. Well, you do not say anything that affects that program. Because you on the outside, your fans are all over you because you say that something wrong is going on in the program. Now, I just believe that we have to have two sides to this. And let's get to this point. And, Doc, and Darryl, you've been sharing it every time we've been talking on the radio. You know, we want them to give everything, and we don't want to give them anything. Is it really, and it's time to start paying athletes. Pay them. I know everybody say they get a stipend and all that, but they need other funding just like any other player, because the money they bring into these universities, they bring in billions, almost billions of dollars to these athletic programs. We'll say multi-million. We're going to say billion. But they bring in so much money to those universities. Not only do they bring to the athletic program, they bring it to the university. You know, you got these companies want to do research with the university when they know they in the limelight. We have the enrollment go shoot up at University of Alabama and Auburn, go up to 40,000, 50,000 students there, you know, going to college there because of a football team, and that does happen. People don't believe it, but it do happen. So, you know, that's one of the situations. Now it's time for, you know, recently, it was, if I'm not mistaken, it was Northwestern University decided, the football players decided to form a union. That was taboo. Everybody was talking about, why would you do that? But they was trying to look out for their best interest, and it's something you've been talking about so much. There is about making sure they, you know, they get some money, they get paid for what they're doing. Make sure they get some kind of health insurance and policy, health insurance policy in case they get hurt. You know what I'm gonna do? You go back, Tyrone Prothero at University of Alabama. You know, he made one of the greatest catches of all time with the University of Alabama. Got hurt in that same game. And you know what? He's working and inventive, but he could never play football again. But he did, Matt. He got his degree from the University of Alabama, so he's now working up in Birmingham area right there. But we have many players get hurt. You take the player that came off the field, Abercrombie. that came off the field for Tennessee State, you know. It wasn't a hit that caused this. It's just something happened. This young man is fighting for his life right now. He's fighting for his life. So I'm just saying, you know, how are we going to take care of this individual as soon as he's able? Because at this point, we pray that everything work out fine for that family and this young man can get up and walk away and play football again. But what if he's not able to play football again? Are we willing to take care? You know, that's a sense of loyalty too. I don't know what you think about that there, but you know, if you would just share your thoughts on it, you know, if that also falls under that point of loyalty too. Is they loyal to you when you get ready to, if you hurt, you know, what's going on with you? What do you think about that?
There is no loyalty. I mean, you know, it's much like service after the sale. There is no such thing when it comes to college football. Yeah, they're going to check in on it. See, what I think should happen is that, all right, Alabama University makes $46 million a year. $46 million a year in the football program alone. $46 million, sir. And tell me how it can hurt them to take $3 million of that and invest it into that 50-man roster, or whatever whatever that number roster is, invest it into that roster, and give them upwards of $5,000, give them $5,000 a month, for that matter, you know, for them out there risking their lives and the rest of their lives. You know, you could get killed out there. People have lost their lives out on that field. So don't tell me that when one of these guys gets hurt, that they have a fallback on their education, because if they get so critically hurt, even their education may not be able to help them. And the families are left to deal with that suffering. So it should be some common ground. I think they should have extremity insurance. I think if they come out of there hurt, they ought to get some type of insurance policy that says, here's going to be a large settlement profit for you if you get hurt out on this field playing football in this program. Even though you're getting an education, even though we're taking care of you and buying your tennis shoes for you to play with and giving you a uniform, if you go out here and get critically hurt and put in a wheelchair and you can't provide for yourself and you are a 22-year-old young man, we've got an insurance check to make sure that for the rest of your life, you at least live a decent life. That's what I'm talking about. And there is no loyalty in that. And if they get hurt, none of that is part of the plan. Go back to you, Dr. Smith.
And we're going to talk about it, and I want to share some thoughts, but you can do the same, 347-857-4192. If you want to be a part of this conversation or just want to listen to the show, just press 1. And identify with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, then I'll ask you to give us your name and your location, then you can share your thoughts on this. And just to kind of wrap that up there, I want to bring something to all of our attention. You know, you think about just the proposal there, I'm talking about a $5,000, and, you know, to give to each one of those players to help them. Then you have a situation like this with Tate Kelly Bryan, and Kelly Bryan said that I want to leave because this is not going to benefit. He didn't get hurt, but then everybody's going to treat him like he ain't loyal to Clemson program. You know, that's not true. Sometimes these young men, and a lot of our young men, are well-rounded enough to make a decision that I need to move on what's best for me. Yeah, I may get it. He already has his degree. So if he has his degree and he decides that I don't want to be here because I'm not going to play, I'm going to try that next level. And when I mean try that next level, I got to get myself in good position. I can't sit on the bench. I've heard some talking heads and pundits say he'll never play football again. Why? You don't know what they're going to do. Everybody to make up those 52, 54-man roster, 55-man roster in the NFL don't always be the superstars. A lot of superstars, Trent Richardson, you know, he played one of the greatest backs in Alabama. Look at him. He can't let them find him a job with what? With this arena football. So my point is, and that really matters, then I can play that, you know. But the point is, we got to look at it both sides. They have no loyalty, meaning the university, so you don't have to have that loyalty, but they expect you to give. So the thing about it, if you start putting some finance in the young men's pocket, taking their care of an insurance policy, because they don't have anything. They have a high school, they have catastrophic insurance, and that you pay for it at a small amount, and it will cover you for some of your major injuries. And we've had some kids, even locally, one young man over Park Crossing was injured last year. He's in a wheelchair right now. But it'll help take care, but it won't really take care of the situation, because if you get where you've got to be taken care of, somebody got to pay for that, and sometimes those policies. So we're looking at loyalty toward those colleges, college football. You know, we can't get upset when a young man makes a decision no longer to be there. And I think that is one of the biggest things. I think it's a one-sided thing. You ought to be glad you're playing for me. We're getting you a scholarship. You ought to be loyal to us, but I ain't got to be loyal to you. So that's one of the things we're talking about, being loyal, because there's no loyalty in college football. All right, Dad, we're going to kind of take a little bit of this. Even when we talk about loyalty, we was talking about over-recruiting. Is this good or bad for college football? You know, and our challenge kind of started off there. You know, over-recruiting. You know, we look at these colleges, and you see the situation even at Clemson. And they had five quarterbacks on the team. And every one of those quarterbacks that they had on that team was either four-star by their rating or five-star. They're down to now two quarterbacks, because three of them transferred. That's including Kelly Bryant. So all of them must have thought they were going to play. All of them thought they had a chance to play, but they didn't get them. So they were recruited, and they were coming out, and we're going to stockpile with all the quarterbacks. And here you got kids now leaving. All of them are leaving. So are they over-recruiting? Is it good or bad for the school? You know, I know you want to get the best competition on your team, but why not suggest a student go to a historical black college when you know he's not going to play at the University of Alabama or University of Georgia? So he'll get a chance to play 4 years. And one thing about it, most likely get a degree. And you know what? They'll find you wherever you are. That's one of those sayings they say. If you got a game and play the game, they will find you, or you eventually find them, whether through the combine or through training or just through the trials. You're going to find your way on the next level. And that's one of the things. Every one of the players want to play at the next level. One of the misconceptions that we have in high school, in elementary and middle school, the boys, all of them think they're going to be an NFL player. All of them think they're going to be an NBA player. Don't even play football. Don't even play basketball. I understand that mindset. I know what you see on TV. But you just don't think that. But just tell me what your thoughts in regards to that, over-recruiting. We're talking about over-recruiting now.
Well, see, Doc, and I'm going to be honest with you now. Those coaches and those recruiters out there, the coaches see where, listen, I need to stack this depth for this position. I need to stack this depth for this position. I need to stack this depth for this position. So if one don't work out, I got another. And I got another, and I got another. But the reality is that they're not looking at the effect that it's having on these students and these athletes that are trying to bring in there. They're simply trying to win the game at all costs. And so the students, in fact, become pawns in the recruitment game. So they know that I got four and five players here. So I've got one to pick from. He's his strength. This is his strength. I got all these strengths out here. So if I lose this one, I'm still good. If I lose that one, I'm still good. And they become a number. I said this in the last segment. These students become a number at the expense of the coach simply trying to win a game. And Alabama's no different, don't get me wrong. But Alabama does have a program that is so well respected that at least they are winning, and Nick Saban plays these teams, his second team, his third team, all get field time. So you have less people leaving that program, number one, for the reason they do get to play, number two, because they're a winning team. The strategy is about winning, and they know they have the opportunity to shine if they're a freshman, sophomore, junior, or senior, or fifth year. They get a chance to at least shine at some point. I never forget that Alabama had a player, I can't remember his name, but he was a fifth-year senior, and he was black, and he finally got to play in his, I think, fifth year. I can't remember his name, but and he did quite well. So again, I don't want to shine too hard on Alabama, but I'm just saying, in the interim of overstacking a team the way they're doing. To me, it's just a pawn game for them to try to have the best possible players to win at the cost of the players that they're bringing out there who may never get a chance to play at all. Back to you, Dr. Smith.
Absolutely. Now, let me introduce our third individual that's joining tonight, our co-host. You know, I like to give him the right introduction. I let him know before, you know, by text that I want to introduce him. And this is Touchdown Tony. Darryl gave him that name, and he wore it proudly. None other
you
than
know
our
what?
Recently retired
Coach
Tony Stallworth. Glad to have you, Coach Tony Stallworth. Touchdown Tony.
You
know, jump in where you fit in, Tony.
Dr. Smith and my brothers of loyalty and respect. I love the word loyalty because I know what it means. And Darryl, you know, I am who I am because you allowed me to be a part of your entourage, which everybody can't be, and you won't let everybody be in. So I feel so very fortunate with that. And to hear your comments, Darryl, as related to the topic of discussion, has a lot of valid points. But let me add something. I always like to use the word business. The world of NCAA, major college football, is business. And no respect to you, Dr. Smith, by talking about HBCU should be an alternative. Everybody wants to go up top and then eventually land where they can. And you have to respect that as well. Nick Saban said something on last week about his career readiness program that he has to provide for the student athletes, because he wants them to understand one thing, that the university doesn't owe you anything, you owe them, because scholarship means you got to work for it. But in preparation, in coalition to your working, here's what the reward can be. And then that goes back to what Darryl said. Now, I think the loyalty part is scholarship. You signed it. And when you sign it, you committed. You don't know what's going to happen after that, because the only fine print that are located in the scholarship is what it has to offer you. And the world of college football has gone so far above the business aspect, where everybody's trying to get rich quick at the expense of their ability, until scholarship, the word scholarship, is about to be null and void. Y'all do agree with that, don't you?
I agree.
Scholarship used to be a big thing. I knew when I got a scholarship back when I came out of school, I felt like I was on top of the world. I had a chance to get somewhere, get away from home, get out of poverty, get out of this low culture, social member background, and find my way. But it's not like that anymore. So it's not. I say all this to say this: the universities are not the full blame. It's the entrepreneurs. It's the outer world. It's the Nikes. It's everybody that's trying to make expense at the value of these student athletes. They have to take a chance and take a shot. You can't blame the universities. That's why Darryl made a valid point. You got to stack the deck, because now you see what's going on with the new rule, with kids can get out after four games. Hey, it's a business. You see how the business is flirting now? You got free agency now in college football, college athletics, especially football.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, it is what it is, gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
And we might as well get ready to face it and not degrade it, but give our listeners a chance to understand that it's that way, because it is a business.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Tony, you're so right, and that's one of the things that I think that when these new rules came up, with this red shirt rule and this transfer rule came up, a lot of people just didn't understand, and they still don't understand it. And it opened the door to what we now call free agency in college. And we didn't understand it in the NFL or NBA or NHL or Major League Baseball. We definitely don't quite understand it now in college. This is the first year, the first month. So the biggest thing that was being talked about by the punters and the talking head was that, do the coaches want to look at and review this just because of several things that have been going on since the start of the season? Now, we got to understand that that's going to lead to people, and as Tony both Darryl said, you know, you got these schools, they're going to recruit as many players, the best players they can recruit that fit that position. Because if you don't recruit and put the best players on the field when it's time to put them on the field, because you're developing and evaluating them, then you're not going to be in the job very long. And no coach that's making $10, $11 million, you don't want to put the best players on the field. We might have our personal feeling about who we think should be in, but then again, the truth of the matter, we're not with them every day. That's just like any parent, I'm going to use a parent, or any person in the community on a high school level, a middle school level. You're not at practice with that coach every day to see who he needs to put on the field. Everybody thinks their child needs to be on the field. But if you're putting the work in, just because he made the team don't mean that he had to play every down on the team. If that making the sense when you listen to that, because I've heard that before, see. They think because they make the team, they got to play. And, Coach, you can elaborate on that to any point you want.
Well, what I want to do, Dr. Smith, because I try to be prepared, especially for our listeners and for us, too, because we're educating ourselves doing this business. And, Darryl, you can agree to that because you've been in broadcasting before. No, you're a broadcastineer. Is that the right word there, broadcastineer?
Well, it's simply broadcasting. And the reality is I'm still in the broadcasting business, and I'm still doing four different radio stations,
Let me just say this. And I'm going to say why I'm on the air, Darryl. And I can say this for Dr. Smith, myself, and everybody that knows Darryl Lee. You have always been committed to what you do, and you do a good, sound job professionally regardless. You know how to cater to your audience, and you taught me what broadcasting is all about. First of all, it's about preparation and being able to deal with those listeners that you don't see and appreciate them listening, A1, and deal with what they want to hear. But let me add this to this. That's kudos to you, my brother.
Thank you very much.
You know that. We go way back. Let me add this, because I like to always do my homework. To support or to add to recruiting is based on being paid. I'm going to give you the top six coaches' salary. So it'll support how important it is, as Darryl said, to stack the deck. Nick Saban, $8.3 million, number one. Urban Meyer from Ohio State, $7.6 million. Y'all hear this word million?
Yep.
Harbaugh from Michigan, $7.5 million. Fisher, Texas A&M, by way of Florida State. You know, by the way, Dr. Smith, you know, he shook that player down there. We might have to call in the NCAA. Excuse me. I almost said something there. He shook a brother. You know who I want to call? Lowry Bogus. I didn't hear you there.
I'm staying out of it.
I like that. Darryl protecting his best interest because he is a councilman. Anyway, Gus Monzon at Auburn at 7.1 and Kirby Smart at Georgia at 7.1. And look at the buyout. Fisher have a $68.1 million buyout and Nick Saban have a $33.6 million. Gentlemen, let's use some thinking process here. To make that kind of money, it's a high demand. And it puts the student athletes and the signage of you sign one guy that can run 4.2 or whatever, Dr. Smith, help me on that. And he gets in there and he gets hurt at the beginning of the year and you sign one of those contracts, they'll buy your ass out and be done with it.
Yep.
And move forward. So you have to look at the whole aspect of NCAA. No, that's why they call it major college football, because all decisions, all business aspect of it, and this is my take, is major. I just want to add those statistics in there to kind of justify where we are with that, and then we can move on out of attendance. Thank you so very much for allowing me to give you that.
I don't know if you heard this, Tony, but I said that just last year, Alabama University, in the sports program, made over $46 million net not gross, net in their football program. You telling me that they can't put aside $3 million and invest in that 52-man roster for those children? That, to me, is absolutely insane. Go ahead, Tony. Jump in.
They can, but it's called escalated revenue to be in place for those non-revenue sports. Dr. Smith, you understand with me when that with track, golf, those coaches that by NCAA rule had a certain amount of salary. So the major sports in the program have to escalate their value in sports to support the entire program because the NCAA requires you to have, help me out, Dr. Smith, 8 to 12 sports before you can be a part of it. Isn't that right?
Exactly. It goes back, Darryl,
to what the program have to do to substantiate being able to stay into NCAA and bringing in those big market type coaches and giving them salaries or giving them opportunity to earn that revenue to stay abreast of the ladder. The benchmark, so I'm trying to say. So you're right there. That's a very good question, and you're right. I hope that answers, and our listeners are here to understand that, again, it's business because what you have to do is you have to have enough revenue to keep your head above water and to deal with gambling with a productive coach from somewhere else that don't become productive with you. You got to deal with your fan base that don't like the coach, even though you like him and sign him and don't show up at the game. You got to deal with the advertisement that may not take your brand because you don't have the right one to endorse the brand. It's so many people, it's so many parts that have so many moving parts that have to be involved in it, and it goes back to that right signing the right what? Student athlete.
But let me say this to you. The same rules that they wrote for sports collectively for these colleges, and they pick them apart one by one. The NCAA has given them the four-game rule now. Well, there's no four-game rule in tennis. It's only in football. There's no four-game rule in basketball. It's only in football. So I'm saying to you that collectively Alabama has made $106 million in sports overall. The rest of it is collectively outside of football. But $46 million of that was strictly football. And we're talking net. We're not talking gross. We're talking after all the bills are paid, they still sit there with $46,000 in their coffers to do what they want to do. Now, Let me add this. Let me add this, and I'll be quiet. Don't tell me that they cannot trilaterally set this thing up to the profits of the game and the profits at the end of the year is how we can disperse this money for the players on a percentage basis, whether it be 0.5% or whatever it is that they can disperse to these players. If we didn't make it this year, your money drops down. It's where we are at the end of the year when we net as opposed to the forecast we can do for the following year. And don't tell me they can't do this. They can do it, but they refuse to because it just doesn't make sense to them. And I'm going to let it get back to you.
That's not argumentative. Those are facts, very related facts. But here's the deal. What you're looking at is part of that money that they have shown to the university and fan base is how they supported the additional seating capacity. Help me out, Dr. Smith. Hospitality rooms, or whatever you want to call those rooms upstairs that donors come in and give so many million each year just to have them reserved for them and them only. Am I right, Dr. Smith?
You're right.
They have increased the infrastructure of the basketball arena because, you know, if you look at it, the basketball ain't made no money in the last couple of years because they didn't have the right people in the right place, and no offense who was there, it just didn't happen. And so it filtered back down to, okay, I remember when I first got the job in Prince Edward County, the superintendent called me and said, Coach, you do a good job here. We love what you do. You really, really, really do a great job. We like what you do, what you contribute to here. All your championships, but you got to understand one thing. What I said, what? I ain't going to call the superintendent name. I ain't going to do that. I protect everybody.
No.
You know what I said? I said, what you mean? He said, football is king. I said, I want to say this is, football brings the most revenue. Therefore, everything will be negotiated from football down. Anybody that's involved in it has to be part of the negotiating process. Sometimes it looks bad, sometimes it looks good, but when you filter it out and look in it, you sign a scholarship. You sign a scholarship, you gamble to go into a program that may give you an opportunity to go escalate to millions yourself. You don't get there, get you a damn degree so you can go to work, because nobody owes you nothing because you signed that scholarship. Again, business.
And touchdown, you brought some good point. Darryl brought some excellent point as well, and I think you will see this in the next 5 or 10 years. There's going to be a way that some of those $46 million are put in the hands of to help, whether it's through more stifling, because they get stifling every month. And that was one of the things we encounter with our financial aid dealing with the baby girl, Lacey. You know, they had some things going over at the university, and they made sure those young men that was playing football got their stifling, even though the financial aid was having a whole lot of problems. And it ain't much, but it was enough to keep them on, because they had been there since the first of August. So they're going to have to make a way to put that money in. And everybody have excellent points. You can do the same, 347-857-4192. Call in, share your thoughts. Let us know what's going on. And what we're going to do, we're going to kind of move our agenda, and we're going to move to the high school section of it. And we want to talk about some marquee matchup. And you can share your thoughts no matter where you are. We might be talking about a central location right now in the central part of the southeastern part of the United States, which is might be talking about Alabama. We talk about Florida, Georgia. You have some thoughts, call in, just like I gave you the call-in number, and then you press 1, and then I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to give us your location, your name, then jump in and let us know what's going on in your area. Touchdown. What's your thoughts and what's some of the marquee matchup coming up with this high school football that's coming up this week, the end of this week, Thursday and Friday and possibly Saturday?
You know, let me give you the, if you would, allow me an opportunity to give you where we are with our standings this week. I'm going to go, I used to go 1-7, I'm going 7-8 down. Central Phoenix City is still on top at 5-8. With 5-0, and Hewitt Trussville above Thompson and above Auburn, and Thompson, by losing to Hoover, remains in the third spot, and Auburn is 5-0. Let me tell my listeners this: that's gonna be a great. I'm gonna see if I get Darryl to go with me on this. If he's not working, he's always working. In Central Phoenix City, in Phoenix City itself, Auburn will play Central Phoenix City the last game of the season, and it seems like they both going to be undefeated. And the way the schedule looks, Auburn will probably, and I know how fourth riders do, be at number 2. That's going to be a great one. And, of course, that's where our own lost savior, Randy Wilkes, which is the superintendent of my cohort, is the superintendent in that area. 6A, with Tom Gill, still staying fresh. However, with Tom Gill, fell into a little bit of a issues are this week with coaches not agreeing and end up being something that I don't want to get into, because I'm always going to be an HSSA guy, and I don't want to put that out there, but they got it settled. In Pinson Valley, which lost only one game, and you know who beat them? Hoover. Speaking of Hoover, Hoover 3-2 and ranked at number 5. But let me tell you what those two losses are. For somebody outside of the state and outside of their range, and they'll get it going on later on. Briarwood Christian in 5A, Vigor, I said this last week. Now, y'all keep me going. Y'all got to support me now. Vigor is 4-0 and rolling down there. But here's a surprise team in 5A. I said it last week. They were at number 10. Guess what? Greenville High School.
All right.
Lost one game. And you know what, Dr. Smith? Greenville has had some great coaches. Plot, that was a head coach. He went on to Auburn as one of the coordinators. McGill Tulum coach that down at McGill right now. that's 4-1. And number six that was in the state championship final last year with Hoover was at Greenville. Coincidentally,
okay.
It's hard for county schools and not city schools to keep guys, but that's a tribute. And in if UMS Wright is still number one in 4A, but guess what? You know, Hillcrest left 3A and won the championship last year, and they in 4A, and they ranked number three. But a surprise loss last week to T.R. Miller.
Mm.
However, sometimes you have to have an eye warning. And let me just say this. We don't mention much about our private school. Montgomery Catholic is number 5 at 4-1. And American Christian up in Tuscaloosa is 4-0. And they have to play the member schools, too. Let's give them their props as well. 3A, you know who I like?
Mm-hmm.
Piedmont, they'll rip Pete. Now, T.R. Miller, they don't have Jamie Riggs anymore. But guess what, Dr. Swift? At number 7, they 4-0. 2A, Laverne. Great game, Laverne and Greenville. Excuse me, Laverne. Daryl, are you there?
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Daryl? I need you. Laverne and Brandon last week was 22-17. And I'm going to tell you something, and this is no lie. One of the best high school games, I don't see all of them, though, that I've seen all year. And it came down to a miscue by a ninth grade quarterback, and I coach his dad, Andrew Kilcrease. You remember him, Dr. Smith?
Yeah, I remember Andrew.
Was trying to do something to put the game out of control, and it was a major fumble, and Laverne picked it up, ran it in, and they won. Kudos to Laverne. I live here. And kudos to Brandon. I work there. But the bottom line is, it was a great football game. And at number one, Lynette came from, let me help Daryl on this, 2A. They won
1A,
it in 1A, and they're going to win it in 2A. But guess what? I remember those days. That's what you do. Don't you remember that, buddy, Daryl, when they moved me from one spot to another? Hey, it's all about being what? Competitive. Can I share something else with you? You know, Montgomery Advertiser does something, Dr. Smith, that, you know, needs to be recognized. And I like that. What they do is they do a top, you know, they do game of the week. Game of the week, Carver, you know, Jeff Davis on last week, that was good. You know, and they rank teams that are local to give them some recognition and try to support, you know, all of their schools. And I like the fact that they recognize, like, for example, they look at Brantley, which is way down here in Brantley, and they talk about the returning quarterbacks. They specify this and another. But I want to say this. It's time for regional play now. And a record, Darren and I used to discuss this a long time, won't mean a whole lot now because it's what you're going to do against those regional opponents. Even if you come in at 5-0 and lose three of them, you may not make the playoffs. Ask the Yankees. It's baseball. Ask Chicago, which might fight a coach, and he won it. You know, it's all about, again, business, even in high school. But anyway, high school football is on the rise, and high school football is at its peak. And there you have it for this week in the top 10 in class 1 through 7A.
Awesome, man. I tell you now, I just want to give one shout out to one of the team you mentioned, and they keep rolling. They're surprising everybody over there on West Fairview. That's George Washington Carver High School. They are undefeated. I don't think anybody expected this. They knew we could do it, but they got a new coach over there. That's Dane Thompson. They came over there from, what, Pickett County, and he got them rolling.
Right.
They're 6-0, and they got a couple big games coming up. And their big game is going to be, if I'm not mistaken, Bar Crossing. And also you have to say Lanier because that's that West Side Classic. So, you know, I think they'll be doping.
Smith,
and be,
I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah.
I'm glad you brought that up because I'm a West Side guy. I grew up over there at Cleveland College. You know, that's my hood. But here's the thing. That Carver lost, you know who they lost to?
Who is that?
The Greenville loss was to Carver.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Hillcrest lost.
Greenville lost out.
Hillcrest lost with the
Greenville. Yep.
That's
sir.
Right. So,
yes, sir.
And if you look at the triangle of all of those games being played, all of those coaches was a product of Gresham staff. And not only Gretchen Stam, when I say that, that's HBCU. And kudos to Gretchen, a fine quality professional guy that's working in between the university HBCU and the high school every day, trying to make things better for those kids and having a pathway, because he works with Jeff Davis, you know, during the day, and able to give those high school athletes an opportunity to have a recruitment pathway or being seen. That's a very important position he has, and I kudos to him.
Awesome, awesome. And that's Coach Gresham over there. He was the liaison for Alabama State University, but he also just worked with Edward getting the young men ready for the next level. So we applaud each and every one, and we thank Touchdown Tony for letting us know all those positive things that's going on in the high school level. So we look for some exciting things to continue on in 2018. Now, if your school in your area, whether it's in the state of Alabama, Georgia, Florida, Mississippi, we didn't call out those other states, but we did call out those in the state of Alabama. But you can call in 347-857-4192, press 1. If you just want to listen, fine, listen. If you want to share your thoughts, just do that. After you press 1, I'll identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell and telephone number, and then ask you to come and tell us exactly who you are, where you're from, and exactly what's going on in your area. So we look forward to that. So we're going to kind of take a leapfrog, and we're going to go we talked about the high school. We're going to look at the historical black colleges and university. We're going to look at some teams that are playing real well, and we'll go to look at what's going on in the SWAC. We're going to applaud Alabama A&M, because Alabama A&M has been close in their games. Everybody think they've just been being blowed out. They haven't. When they played those major schools, they did. But then took every one of these teams. They took Southern to the brink. The weekend before down in Mobile, in the Mobile Classic, Southern beat them about 2 points. Matter of fact, the score was 7-0. Southern A&M scored 3 straight touchdowns, went up 21-7, and they did their best to try to hold on, but they couldn't. Southern went up 29-21. A&M actually scored late in the game and went for 2. So they ended up losing 29-27 down in Mobile. Come back this past weekend over there in Jackson, played Jackson State, and ended up being victorious. So they look like they're going to be a force to deal with, because each one of these games they're in play, because they're start conference play and division play, and they have won both of those. You know, they lost one, but they won one, but they played well in both of them. So we got to look at some good things with A&M. They're setting up for that Magic City Classic, which is happening every year in Birmingham. So join us that last Saturday, October 27th. Be there, because it looks like it's going to burn a burn burner. Alabama State, you know, they went through their first victory with Tuskegee, and they took their lumps with the next group, including Grambling, a shutout pretty much down in Grambling. But they got a big ball game this weekend. They're going to be playing, going over there playing Alcorn. Alcorn was projected to be the winner of that at division, which is the Eastern Division of the SWAC Conference. So it's a big ball game. I always said if they could get through and beat Tuskegee and get through the rest of, this game will be more important than all the other games, because they need to win this game, because you beat Alcorn, you're ahead of them a half a game. And then you can beat everybody else, and when you get down to a tiebreaker, you'll be ahead. So we're looking at that as being real positive. So that SWAC is really rolling, because they're playing now, and they're getting ready to play each other. And the standing is Alcorn is 3-1 at the top up there, and you have Southern that's at up the top up there. They're 2-0. So they're rolling. So we'll get ready to get some play going on.
Good ball game next week. Dr. Smith, good ball game next week down in Mobile, South Alabama, and ASU.
Exactly. And matter of fact, it's doing the same time with Alabama.
I'm going to take Daryl with me down there on that game. I'm taking him down there. I'm going to be and my brother. Maybe they give us a microphone down there. We might make that thing work. JoJo, me, him, Daryl, JoJo, that'd be a good matchup.
That'll be the old rolling game from our High 105, baby.
Yes, sir, buddy. And guess what? It'll be a blue affair.
Yeah. And next weekend, you'll have Alabama A&M playing up there in Huntsville for their homecoming. So, you know, they got a lot of events going on up there for their homecoming. So all this stuff is beginning to come to light. And then you also have in the MEAC, you have those games playing. Right now, North Carolina A&T is still rolling like they are. They got one loss. Now, they had 15 in a row, had one. They had the longest streak going on, but they ended up losing 2 weekends ago, but they got back on the winning track last weekend. So they are rolling in the MEAC. And then you have Tuskegee is just rolling again. They end up losing the game a couple weeks ago, but they're back at it now. They're rolling back. They're winning, and they're looking real well. So that's good. And also, Morehouse is doing real well in that Eastern Division of that SIAC. So, and then the CIAA, Virginia State, is they struggling a little bit this year. You know, they was very successful, and Coach Barlow, that's up at Virginia State, and they're just going to get it together. So we got some football going on. We got some standings. We got some excitement. But you can share about what your team is doing and what your historical black colleges and team is doing, what your high school, middle school. We are the voice. And we want to be here for you. We have some co-hosts that are ready to just share things with you and their expertise. So anything else we want to add about historical black college and university? We don't want you to say hashtag 102, my brother, because, you know, a man is not here tonight. But he said he'll be back next week, Star Wars. He said he'll be here next week.
I thought he was running from me. I heard he tried to justify that he on a night shift. I think he took the night shift because he know he on the night shift with me. But guess what? We're gonna bury class 101 at A&M and just get ready to sell it on what? On the field at the Madison Class. There are
on
you
the
there?
I'm right here, and Alabama A&M is gonna beat Bama State. I'm sorry to say it. I'm with the king.
Oh!
Oh,
hot
damn.
I like
that's
that.
That's the way to take
ain't
the role, baby.
Ain't nothing wrong with a little controversy. Ain't nothing wrong with stirring the pie. Ain't no little song with stirring the pie. I like that. We have to learn to agree and disagree and still be what? Brothers.
Brothers.
I don't give my opinion. I just wait to the result. You know, I get loud when I win. I'm silent. We have to have you loud.
Tony, baby. That's what we got to have. Yep.
Oh, me and Dad.
So it's all in pop. Just one more topic, brother, before we close this thing out. I know we're down about 2 or 3 minutes, but I want to talk about LeBron. And this is a little professional basketball. LeBron in a Laker uniform. How do you think about his first game?
Well, here's what I think.
He had played two games, yes.
Well, here's what I think. LeBron has learned a whole lot being at Cleveland and Miami. He's learned that winning at number 23 doesn't always make him who he is. No, it will make you who you are because of who wore that number. We all know who won that. Mm-hmm. The greatest basketball player ever played is Michael Jordan. And mm-hmm. Michael Jordan is a trailblazer as well as Magic Johnson, again, the always been still away, both of MJ. When it comes to the business world outside of the contributor to it, which is what sports, because you're only going to play so long.
Yep.
And LeBron, let's forget about the game. Let's forget about, I ain't going to tell you, forget about, let me go beyond that. Going to L.A. can entice your brand and get you where you need to be. Because you ain't going to play but so long.
Yes, sir.
Everybody can't win the championship like 11 with Bill Russell and 6 with Magic. Michael Jordan. And But what you have to do is look at what you can do in this era, because the athletes – and everybody that comes in trying to idolize those that have been successful. So why not go to L.A.? And what he has done there is, I'm coming here to show you young brothers that we can move this, because this is the biggest brand that is in sport. And
yes, sir.
I want to continue my brand at a lot less degree of expectation. So let's get together and make this thing work. I think it's a great move. And I'm going to tell you something else I heard today. Don't be surprised if Kevin Durant don't shock the world and leave Golden State.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's possible. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And guess
that's
where
possible.
He might go? He may go right across the street.
Yep.
So, hey, my final thought is, hell, they're all just about playing the same arenas.
Yeah. They're not far from each other, I can tell you that.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So you can throw a rock and hit it all. But anyway, on that, and LeBron was very humble, very passive, and trying to make. But I'm going to tell you this. Once that first game starts, he's going to be competitive, and he's going to find out who want to ride with him. So that's just in his nature.
Exactly. Awesome, awesome, man. I tell you, boy, it's been an exciting show tonight, and I appreciate everybody joining us. And, you know, we always get to this point. We don't want to go, but we have to go. I want to remind you that you can join us on Friday with Balling with the Doc. You can call in with your expertise on the hottest sports topic that's going on at 4 o'clock Friday, Blog Talk Radio, Instagram, as well as Facebook Live. And the call-in number is the same, 347-857-4192. You can join us on Friday at 4 o'clock Central Standard Time. Then on Monday is Talking Real to You, where I have a lady of the hour, the Millennium, and she's a co-host, and my daughter, that's Lauren D. Smith, and she joined us on Monday night, which she would join us on tonight, but she's still kind of struggling that rehab, and she's working hard. God is blessing her, and our prayers are for her. And that's Talking Real to You, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time, the same call-in number with the experts. You have Dr. Olivia E. Smith, as well as you have Scarlett H. Black, who will join us as an expert. And we had a ball tonight, Touchdown Tony and Daryl, and we want to close it out now, and I want you to close it out best you feel, and then we'll wrap it up, and then we'll get ready to go with another show next week. And we'll make sure our communication is on time. So everybody be here so we can have a balling time on Wednesday, wonderful Wednesday. All right, either one, you can, Darryl, let's do it. Let's do it, Tony. Let's close
it
out.
Yes, sir. Let's close it out, man, no doubt about it. Let me say this to you. Two things. One, Magic City Classic, A&M wins, and Roll Tide. Good night, everybody.
Good night, Darryl.
Magic City Classic is yet to come. I understand why you. But see, people don't understand you, Darryl. They think you're from the lower part of Alabama. You're from Birmingham. So you're exposing you there and also protecting you at the same time. But I'm going to tell you this. There ain't been no game in Alabama. It's called scrimmages. And Roll Tide was scrimmaged another game at the expense of the opponent. And as Tupac said, Darryl, that's just the way it is. Have a nice day. You take the day. Don't let the day take you.
Awesome, awesome. And I thank both of my co-hosts for joining me and those other two that was not here. We want you to have a wonderful weekend, rest of the week, Thursday and Friday, and have an awesome weekend. Have some game. Go check the game out so you can call us on next Wednesday and share your thoughts about what's going on in your community. And as I said and always say, hashtag keep on grinding. I tell everybody that. Make sure you keep on grinding all day anyway. You know, and what one good thing about what we be trying to do around here, we be trying to make things happen. Also, hashtag communicate four with number four, understanding. And, I always tell everybody so we can be on the same page. I love you. It ain't a thing because I have a great night, have a great weekend, and we'll see you on next Wednesday. And on the right to the music that we're playing, ain't no stopping. After 1 year and 2 months, we're going to make it happen, but we'll be in your neighborhood. Make sure you call, make sure you text, call our office number 334-467-7261 or email me at talkingsportsplus@gmail.com or lowercase@gmail.com. Have an awesome night. We love you. And that's what you do about it.
have been so many things that held us down, but now it looks like things are finally coming around. I know we've got a long, long way to go, and where we'll end up, I don't know. But we won't let nothing hold us back. We're putting ourselves together, we're polishing up our act. And if you've ever been held down before, I know you refuse to be held down anymore. Trying to make it, they only push you aside.